As we look at these brachas of Shalayasani, Nachri Shalayasani, Ovid Shalayasani, Isha, it's really important to maintain a positive perspective on them. And Rav Munk has an amazing outlook, which I think serves to give us that perspective. And he explains that the feeling of gratitude, which prompts the free men of Israel to praise Hashem, does not spring from the privileges or wider freedom that we enjoy. Rather, it wells up from the joy in the special task that's allotted to us. The division of duties is something which is characteristic to Judaism. There might be equal rights, but there are certainly different duties assigned to each group. Judaism regards the welfare of the world dependent on this premise. The Messianic dynasty depends or is assigned to the house of David HaMelech, the Kohenah, the priesthood, to the house of Aaron, the temple service to the tribe of Levi. Similarly, only free men were obligated to fulfill the totality of all mitzvahs. Rav Munk explains that nature has most certainly assigned different physical, emotional, and mental dispositions to men and women. And therefore, the Jewish religion too has created a social order which grants to women, as well as to men, the opportunity for complete fulfillment of one's natural vocation. Just like it would be madness to accuse nature of committing an injustice, it would also be equally absurd to accuse religion of doing the same. He goes on to say that the existence of a serving class of society, which is something which is tolerated by Judaism, also seems to conform to an innate structure of society. To this day, in spite of all the social revolutions that the world has undergone, the difference between a ruling class and a serving class has not been eliminated. Nowhere, however, do those who enjoy the elaborate and effective, protection provided by Jewish law with its sweeping principles of true social justice. Judaism, however, does not make the value of a personality dependent upon the amount of its responsibilities or the size of its task. Rather, what happens to be important and what is important is a conscientious fulfillment of the duties assigned. The priest, the Kohen, can bless the congregation. The head of the Sanhedrin cannot. That doesn't make one superior to the other. Nowhere does the Torah limit the promises of reward or the exhortation to justice to a specific class of people. On the contrary, there's always an inclusive expression of all social orders. In fact, this is something that the Sifra in Vayikra, which is attributed to Reb Meir, says the same thing. The Gemara in Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel, says, I call heaven and earth to witness, whether it's a man, Jew, or a non-Jew, whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's a manservant or a maidservant, only according to their actions, as well as the, only according to their actions will the spirit of holiness rest upon them. It's a Yalkut. So Yalkut in Shoftim. And therefore, this concept of moral value of the human personality makes it possible for each person to be content with their lot and be happy with the measure granted to them. The Jewish woman, relieved by the Torah law from the obligation to observe a large portion of the mitzvahs, can see in this exemption a manifestation of Hashem's faith in the greater strength of a moral self-discipline. The Torah assumes that a woman has greater faith in her Jewish destiny and fears less for the temptation in her sphere of activity. So, it absolves women from many practices that are designed to protect men. When the Torah was given, the first appeal was the faith and trust of the Jewish people, Kosem Malabes Yaakov. And the Jewish mentality is always said, Bizchus Nashon Tzidkanyos, in the merit of the righteous women, the Jewish people are redeemed. And therefore, what we're talking about is not one's value based on one's class or one's gender. Rather, it's the role that we all have to pay to bring the world to perfection.